Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. While living in such a corrupt world, it might be hard to know what godly relationships look like when we have found the one. Join Pastor Nate in the Book of Ruth as we learn more about our relationships in a series called Summer Love.
You can't expect to have what you want now and receive what God wants later. And immorality keeps us from experiencing the fullness of what God has for you. But purity unlocks God's potential and blessing in our lives. Now, again, another side note. I'm going to keep doing this because I feel like it's important. This isn't a conversation because God's old school and we are religiously following some ancient concept. It's not like we happen to open the Bible and we read it and we're like, I don't know the reason why we have to do this, but it's just what the Bible says and we're Christian, I guess. And so we have to religiously, blindly follow these ideas. And like, really, it's like, man, God, get with the times. Nobody behaves like that anymore. Like, if you would just catch up, write a new Bible and everything would be different, we'd be good. No. We're not religiously following this. We're talking about this because it's God's standard and God's plan for us to experience his blessing and to find the most satisfying intimacy. Real modern studies that are conducted today show that monogamy is the way to get the most out of intimacy. God designed it, and so God gets to say how to use it. And if we do things God's way, we're going to experience God's purpose and blessing in our lives. So again, the reason we're having this conversation is not because, like, your parents talk to me and they say, hey, listen, you really need to tell the kiddos that they got to stop looking at that and they got to stop thinking about that. No. We're not talking about that for that reason. We're talking about this because if you want to fully step into God's plans for your life, this is a huge area that allows for you to unlock that potential. If you want to fully see all that God can do in you and through you, this is an area that needs to be surrendered to God. And that's why we're talking about this. So what I want to do with our time together is ask three questions. Three questions that, if answered incorrectly, can keep us from what God has for us. But if we answer them correctly, we will experience all that God has for us. Three questions. Sound good? Three questions that I think all of us may at some point have asked or maybe one day will ask. First question, now or later? Now or later? If we look past all the weird cultural stuff in this story, we see that Boaz did not cut corners in order to have Ruth. We're told that Ruth does the weird thing. She like uncovers his feet. She lays down. She's there waiting, I guess. And then he like moves and he's like, ah, what is going on? And she's like, hey, it's just me, Ruth. And he's like, why are you here? And she's like, listen, like just like an eagle. What'd she say? She says, take your maidservant under your wing. Like, okay, weirdo. So when we look past all that, so that happens, and so easily Boaz would have been great. Yeah, let's do this thing. Let's get married. He says, hold up. I understand that you're interested in me, but there's actually someone that is more qualified that can basically take care of you. Because in the culture, what would happen is the closest relative to the husband's side, on the husband's side, the deceased husband's side, would take care of the widow. So if he had a brother, it'd be him first, but he didn't have a brother. So basically the closest relative would be the one that was responsible for taking care of Ruth. And she thought it was Boaz. She thought Boaz was the guy. She thought, this is the guy I want to spend my life with. And she was ready to be with him. And Boaz said, hold up, slow down, girl. Before we do this, you got to understand that there's actually someone closer that is able to redeem this relationship. But it would have been easy for Boaz to just have Ruth. Very easy. It's midnight. Nobody's around. There she is. It was simple. But Boaz didn't cut corners. But I bet he wanted to. Because, listen, right now always screams the loudest. We often get caught up in the moment, right? How many of us have been grounded because we just got caught up in the moment? Like your parents were like, what were you thinking? And you're like, I don't know, it just sort of happened. Like all of a sudden we were doing this crazy. It's like, yeah, we get caught up in the moment. We feel it in the moment. We can't ignore it. It's all we think about. And we often choose right now over what is right. We often, in the moment, choose right now over what is right. Because right now screams the loudest. But listen, later lasts longer. Right now screams the loudest, but later lasts longer. Right now in the moment seems good, and it seems satisfying, and it seems like it'll feel right. But listen, it doesn't last. The only lasting things from right now are negative. From STDs to unwanted pregnancies to things like HPV, which is mostly contracted in the throat that leads to throat cancer that comes from oral sex, things like that, that seems like right now is going to feel the best, it only leads to negative lasting things. Now, not only are the negative lasting things right now physically, because you could say, okay, but I've experienced these things, but I didn't contract that. I didn't get pregnant. I didn't have that. What about me? And some people, they mess around. They do these things. They experience right now, and there's never any lasting negative effects. Did you know the lasting negative effects are not just on your physical body, but also your spiritual body? Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, listen, which war against the soul. War against the soul. Intimacy affects us on the deepest level, our soul. Now screams the loudest, but later lasts longer. Doing things God's way lasts longer. The only lasting effects are negative and ultimately always leads to regret. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, it says this, lest there be any fornicator or of profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. This story of Esau, basically what happens was he was promised a birthright from his parents, meaning he was going to get most of the inheritance once his parents died. It was going to set him up for the rest of his life. It would set up his kids for their life. It was going to be a decent, large sum of money after they died. And he went out, he went hunting, he came back, his brother was cooking food, and he smelled the food, he was hungry, and he wanted the food. It was like lentil soup, and it's like, really lentil soup? That sounds not even very good. And he's like, he wanted the lentil soup, and his brother said, listen, I will trade you this bowl of soup for your birthright. The bowl of soup for your birthright. And in the moment, Esau said, I'm going to die if I don't eat. And so he exchanged his birthright for the bowl of soup because right now was screaming the loudest. Right, he's like, I got to eat right now. I got to satisfy this right now. I need it. I can't live without it. And right now screams the loudest. But listen, later lasts longer. Later he regretted it. He wished he could get it back, but he couldn't. When we do things God's way, we're blessed and it has lasting positive effects. So the question, now or later? Well, now screams louder, but later lasts longer. Don't trade what God has for you for some cheap, immediate gratification. Second question, you with me? Cool. How far is too far? How far is too far? This is a popular question. This is one that I think a lot of us wrestle with when it comes to relationships. How far is too far? And I think we ask this question for a couple reasons. One, when we're planning on doing something wrong. Or two, when we're trying to justify something we've already done wrong. It's like, I didn't really cross the line. Wasn't that bad? Come on, that's not what they did. It's not what they did, right? That's our go-to. I'm not as bad as them. And we ask, how far is too far? Now, again, Boaz had opportunity to take things too far. He could have, but he didn't. He did what honored Ruth and pleased God. And that's the better question we should be asking. Whenever you're in a situation, the question you should be asking is, does this honor the other person and does it please God? Does it honor them? Is it looking out for the best of them? Is this allowing them to step fully into the plans and purposes God has for them? Forget about you for a moment. We're obsessed with us. All we think about is us, right? I prove it to you. Who do you look for in a photo? You. And if the photo's good, it's because you look good in it. If you don't look good, the photo's bad, right? Forget about you for a second. Let's think about them. And when we forget about them, we're asking these questions, how far is too far? It's because we're not thinking about what honors them. We're not thinking about what's going to be best for them. We're not thinking about how this can help them or not help them step into their calling. And we so often want to get as close to the limit light as we can without technically crossing it, right? Like, I didn't technically cross the line. Well, what's that line anyways? And then we have to, okay, well, what is the line? We got to figure it out. We want to understand. It doesn't matter. What we need to understand is that the blessing is found in contentment where God has placed us. God knows that we will avoid shame and regret and dissatisfaction when we do things his way. We don't see that. We look at other things, but when we ignore God's plan, all he's saving us from, he's not saving us from fun or being accepted or anything. He's sparing you from shame and regret and dissatisfaction in life. We shouldn't focus on what God has said no to, but be content in all that he said yes to. We get caught up in, man, why can't I do that? Why can't I go there? Forget about that. Look what God has said yes to. There's a verse in Psalms, it's one of my favorite. It says that the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. In other words, when I look at the lot that God has given to me, I'm completely content. I don't need to go out to the line and see how much God's given to me. I know God has given me plenty. It's within his boundaries that we find the blessing. And so I'm not going to go out looking to push my borders out. I'm going to stay where God has given to me and realize that the blessing comes within the boundaries. Purpose comes within the boundaries. Contentment comes within the boundaries. God isn't saving us from fun or whatever. God is sparing you shame and regret and dissatisfaction. So we got to realize that it's within the boundaries we find the blessing. And he says, we're asking the question, how far is too far? Forget that question. Does it honor them? Does it please God? And do you know what also, this is a side note. Remember in week one, we talked about the decision before the decision, where we choose right now that we're going to honor God with all areas of our life. And then when we find ourselves in a situation where we could compromise, we've already made the decision. But we've already decided, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I've made that decision already. So I've found myself in a situation that doesn't lead me to making good decisions, but I already made up my mind. And so I'm not going to step into this. Boaz already made up his mind. He already decided, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor Ruth. I'm going to please God. And so when this situation presented itself, he said, forget this. I already decided that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Does it honor the other person? Does it please God? Third and final question. You still with me? Is it too late for me? Is it too late for me? This is a hard topic for us to talk about because there's a reality that many of us have not honored God in this area of our life, right? This is a reality. We think about this situation, we think about these decisions, and we go, man, maybe I didn't do what's right. And sometimes we think that since we've already failed, why should we stop now? You ever thought that? Like, man, I already did it. Who cares if I do it again? Man, I already failed here. Who cares if I mess up this way? But at the same time, others of us haven't failed when it comes to this stuff. Some of the stuff I'm talking about, and you're like, what did he mean by that? Don't worry about it. Just forget about it. Some of us, that's where we're at. Some of us were like, we hear a message like this and all we can think about is failure, right? All we can think about is the time I didn't do this right. The time I was over here when I shouldn't have been. The time I was, and then others of us are like, I don't really understand this. And it would be easy for us to think that if we don't understand it, it doesn't apply to us. But before we go either way, we need to remember that we're talking about purity. And the idea of purity, let me say it, a Bible word, is holiness. Or here's a better word that we understand, being set apart. Being set apart. You know something set apart? You guys have parents that have like special china in your house? Anybody have parents like that? They're like, no, don't touch the special. Here's the plastic plate. Use that. The special china. You can't use that to just like eat your mac and cheese from. It's set apart. It's designed for like, I don't even know, Thanksgiving when you're out of town, I guess. That's the only time they use it. Anyways, so it's the idea is set apart. The idea of purity that we're talking about is that idea. It's being set apart. It's saying, I am not going to be like everybody else. God has called us out of the world to look different from the world so our lives will point to him. And we could all use some more holiness up in our lives, huh? All of us could use more of being set apart in our life. There's too many areas of our life that we look at and say, I look too much like the world. The world is having too much effect on me, and I need to change that. And we're called to be set apart in every area of our lives. And the idea is to look different than everyone else. And this begins in our heart. Jesus said that impurity begins in the heart. He says we can fall into this idea of impurity, of immorality, long before we ever even take an action. Jesus went as far to say that if you look, he was talking to guys, he said, if you look at a girl with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery in your heart. You don't even have to talk to her and you've already committed adultery, he says. Woo, hello. That's a pretty serious claim. That is some pretty serious stuff that Jesus just throwing out of nowhere. And what he's telling us is that impurity begins in the heart. It starts there before it ever leads to action. And that could happen in what we look at on the internet. That can happen through how we look at people around us. That could happen in how we dress when we go out to certain places. All of that is this idea of affecting whether or not we're set apart or not. And when we realize that it starts in our heart, we will really, I think, all pause and go, man, I have issues. And let me tell you, we all have issues. I'm not up here standing like I'm perfect. No, we all have issues. We all struggle. We all fail. And so the question remains, is it too late? Boaz was old when he chose to do things right. Do you see that? Look at verse 10. He says to her, he says, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning in that you did not go after young men. In other words, you went after an old guy. I love that. He's like, just honest. Like you didn't go after a young guy, whether he was rich or not. Like you came for the old guy. And what it shows us is that Boaz chose to do things right even when he was old. It is never too late to choose to do what's right. It's not too late to choose to honor God with this area of our life. We must choose that from this day forward, regardless of what our past looks like, we want to honor God and be set apart in purity. I'm going to invite the worship team back up here. A life that the devil wants you to think is that you will always be a failure. You will always be bound to that thing. You will always be defined by your past. That's what the devil wants you to think. But listen, that isn't true. The grace of God allows us to move past our past. The Bible says that there are new mercies given to us by God every day that allows us to choose to do things the right way. We just have to choose to walk in God's plan. Every single day for you and I are new mercies. I heard somebody say that the only thing new about our God are his mercies every morning. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet the only thing that's new about him is the mercies that he has for you every single day. No matter what you've done before, there's new mercies for you today. No matter how you failed, there's grace that covers our failure. And we do this so that we can fully experience the plans and the purposes God has for us. Listen, God has a plan for your future. He has a plan for who he wants you to reach with the gospel. He has a plan of where you're going to go, where you're going to end up. And he also has a plan for your relationship. So listen, we must choose to honor God and not settle for something less than what God has for us. We don't want to settle. We want to step in to what God has for us. And listen, it's not too late to do what God wants us to do.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio. Before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah on how we can put this into practice.
Now, pretty much one of the primary themes of this part of the story is being set apart,
right,
and how Ruth and Boaz were set apart. And in our relationships, we're called to be set apart.
Right.
And why is that? What's the purpose? What's the role of being set apart?
Yeah. You know, and I think I like what you said in our relationships, and relationships are beyond romantic relationships.
Hmm.
Relationships are across the board, and part of relationships as a Christian is to be set apart. So that means we're going to treat people different. We as a Christian should treat our boss different than a non-Christian treats.
Hmm.
We as a Christian should treat our spouse or the person we're dating different than somebody that's not a believer. We as Christians should date our kids different than people that have kids that aren't Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so across the board, we should treat people different because we are Christians. There's something about we're called to be set apart. And the purpose of that is Jesus has called us to be set apart so that we can be an example to the world of what it means to be a Jesus follower. You know, there's so many misrepresentations of Christ by his so-called followers, that people just don't treat people very well in the name of Jesus or under the umbrella of being Christian. And so as Christians, it's our job to show people what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus' primary mission while he was on earth was people. Everything he did was about people. He wasn't collecting things. At the end of his life, when he was crucified, he had one shirt that the people fought over. Jesus wasn't caught up about in things. And in the same time on the cross, he looked at his mom and he looked at one of the apostles and said, "Hey, John, you got to take care of my mom now." Because his primary thing was people, and as it wasn't things. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to make sure that the way we treat people is different than the world treats people. And when it does, it's going to glorify God and it's going to show people what a relationship with Jesus looks like.
Now, let's say that someone's listening and they're thinking this all sounds good and they want to be set apart. They want to stand out for the Lord,
right,
in all their relationships, but also in their dating relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're with someone right now that they've been dating and they have not remained pure.
Mm.
And they're realizing, my relationship is not bringing any glory to Jesus.
Right.
What is something they should do if they're feeling like that and they want to be able to have a pure relationship?
One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in the book of Judges, and it's the life of Samson. And Samson has a really interesting life, and relationships with him were a nightmare, ultimately costing him his life. We know Samson and Delilah is one of the most famous stories. And Delilah was a Philistine, and she got him to shave his head, which was the source of his strength. Not the hair, but the fact that that was his being set apart. He was set apart unto God. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair. And he cut his hair. And ultimately, it cost him to be captured by the Philistines. And we're told that he was a grinder, like a mule, grinding wheat for the Philistines. And then at one point, he was on display for all the Philistines, and people were mocking him and laughing at him. And we're told that in that moment, he prayed, and it's this amazing verse that it said, and his hair began to grow again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this picture that God wasn't done with him yet. That even though he messed up, he shaved his head like he wasn't supposed to, his hair, like hair does, began to grow back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this picture that the mercy of God and the grace of God was still on his life, and he wasn't done yet. And so I think if at any point in our life, if we've messed up, if we failed, if we haven't been faithful, if we haven't been pure, I think the same is true. The hair on our head can grow back. God isn't done with us yet. He still wants to use us. He still wants to allow us to be pure and to be set apart. But what we got to do is, like Samson, we got to surrender. We got to say, okay, God, I'm done doing things my own way. I'm done trying to accomplish things in my flesh or in the way I want things to go. I'm going to surrender to you. My life is now yours. My relationships are now yours. And God, use my relationships. And when we surrender, God gives us strength to, from now, from this day forward, to do the things God wants us to do. So we got to surrender our lives and surrender our relationships.
And we sing glory, glory.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We pray that this message has blessed you and your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like more information about all that's going on here, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow Pastor Nate on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week and join us next time here on Middle Ground Radio.